Radio.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
That's right, folks. Welcome to the show. It's another episode of the Patriot Nation Radio Show. I'm getting this shared around. If you're in the live feed, please share this around to all your friends and family and everybody you know and love who want to hear this show, who will not believe their ears this evening what you're going to hear. Folks that have been through and lived communism. Pretty crazy stuff. I'm just getting started here. I'm a little out of whack. So I'm going to do this. This is our top of the hour station identification break, and we're going to play it right now.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives, big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com, the official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
I never knew about at a funeral or like the last day when an officer has passed, and they actually go and the dispatch will close basically down the radio air for emergency only, and then she will call the badge number or he will call the badge number from dispatch, and obviously there's never an answer. Brave soul has passed away in the line of duty. Felt like something needed to be done or to recognize that, and that's what the song is about. Basically, it's about an officer who's gone down in the line of duty, and he's given his all, and when they do reach out for the last call, he answers back, and these are his words. And one thing a lot of people don't know, I know a lot of cops in and out of uniform. They are very human, just like you and I. Pick and choose what laws they uphold, but they have to uphold the ones that are put in place by our representatives. And our representatives are the people that we put in office. And the same people that are out there with their signs are the same people that are putting lunatics in office. Here's the wake-up call, people. Don't come down on the men and women in blue for doing their job. Come down on your representatives for passing these BS laws and get involved in your political on a local level and fix what the problem is. Fix the problems in our laws today. Get involved in your local politics and get moving. Get moving in America. Become a citizen. A citizen doesn't mean you sit back and collect a paycheck from the government. A citizen means you are a part of the government, a part of the citizenry, a part of the voting and voicing public. And that's what I think the song says more over than anything else. And if people want to hear it, because I know they do, please go to Dave Bray, USA, right now on Facebook. That's D-A-V-E-B-R-A-Y, USA.
That's right, folks. DaveBrayUSA.com. Music on a Mission. The Storyteller Edition is out now. Going to have a new song coming out here September 4th, I believe, will be coming out. And we're going to try to get it here for our 9/11 tribute show that we have every year, that I try to do every year. It's really good stuff. I'm trying to get the Maximo speech to the right place. I'm working on it. You got to hear Maximo, because he said some great things. And so here we go. I'm going to send this to the page, and then we'll be able to play it over the Bluetooth speaker. But yeah, we'll be speaking with Omar Lugo here. Hopefully he calls in. He's supposed to be the first guest to tell him to call in 8:05, so he's just about ready to call in here just in 1 minute. And I'm going to get ready to pull this up, and we're going to play this audio. Hopefully I can pull this off. Yeah. I'm trying. It should be fun if I get this to work out. In the meantime, I want to welcome you all to the show. It is the Patriot Nation Radio Show. You can check out Tuesdays and Thursdays, A Conservative Perspective with James Bostic, 7 p.m. Eastern, and of course, United Patriots Uprising with Gary Binford. You can check that show out Mondays, every other Monday. This coming Monday, I got a spectacular show coming up. It's going to be really cool. And here I go. I'm going to get Maximo on here right now. Let's do it.
I live in Miami, Florida. Which is in just a 90 mile wide blue street.
Freedom from fear. Obviously not going to get that video on, but if you're in the live feed, share, like. Let's get this rocking. My first guest is here. I really wanted to play that speech by Maximo tonight, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen here, unfortunately. We have some kind of glitchy glitch going on, but without further ado, I do believe this is my first guest. So I'm going to take a chance, ladies and gentlemen. Omar Lugo.
Yes. Hey, how are
Omar?
You, Mark?
Welcome to the show, sir. All right,
awesome.
Folks.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Our first guest tonight is Omar Lugo. He's a Venezuelan, now American. Loves the American dream, achieved the American dream, hardworking American, who I'm sure in the past, as the governments were turning socialist and communist, some of the speeches he hears today coming from the left, some of the things that they're saying and talking about, are eerily familiar to people like Omar, who was there for Hugo Chavez. So before Hugo Chavez became the leader of Venezuela, what was Venezuela like? Well, first, hold on. Introduce yourself a little bit. Say hello. This is who I am. Like, this is where I came from. This is what I do.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Well, my name is Omar Lugo, and I'm better than I deserve. Just like you said, thank God for United States of America, because imagine a former refugee coming from a communist country was able to actually make it here, and I keep making it. So anyway, Venezuela before Hugo Chavez was actually a prosperous place. You know, we have all kinds of resources. Oil, gold, all kinds of resources, natural resources. And therefore, Venezuela was actually, back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, was known as being one of the richest countries in not only in Latin America, but actually in the world. So we were a prosperous country, my family, even though we weren't rich, some of my family members were able to travel to the United States and Europe and study and purchase things. So we had a good life. I myself went to college, everything paid for. I ended up having two careers by the age of 18. Okay, a journalist and branding journalist, which is now known as marketing and advertisement. So growing up with my father actually was a politician, was a diplomat. Okay, and he was able to experience, communism in six different countries, that he was deployed to work with. His job was basically being able to rescue what in government is called human assets, which is basically scientists, professors, intellectuals, and people that were running their life were running in danger in some of these countries for thinking differently. With the surprise that now my country is actually communist, and here we are. You know, we're running away from these people. So anyway, when Hugo Chavez, you know, installed his reign of terror, he called it the socialism of the 21st century. So just so you know, guys, you know, people that follow any Marxist type of philosophy, they always call their movement something else. Okay, here we call them the radical left, the Democratic Party, and so forth and so on. But it's basically the same. Everything, you know, is being rooted the same. Okay, all they try to do in the beginning is change small ordinances or laws. Okay, in that way they can actually separate you from your rights, and then they try to create division, which is what we're seeing right now in the United States of America. You know, with all these racial charge, you know, speeches and actions.
Okay. Do you see a lot of similarity? Is there a lot of similarities between what's unfolding today on the streets of America as what happened in the early stages of communism taking over in Venezuela?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
What about the political rhetoric?
Well, it's basically the same. You know, all that hate speech, you know, one faction against the other one, you know. In Venezuela, you see, it's hard for Venezuelans to be racially divided because, you know, in every other household, I mean, people are pretty much, you know, mixed. You know, I can talk about that myself. You know, my mom, you know, she's white. My father was black and so forth and so on. So our division was created on economic classes, you know, the rich against the poor and so forth and so on, you know. So Hugo Chavez right. used that as his rhetoric. You know, the rich, you know, he used to say that the oligarchs, okay, or the rich people, you know, they're against you. The poor people, the ignorant, the stupid, you know, they make, you know, he made, you know, poor people and middle-income people, you know, feel useless, you know, feel less. So basically, yeah, it's absolutely. I can see that happening now in the United States of America.
And how for someone who's lived through it, knowing that we're the last beacon of hope on the planet, like if America goes, where do people go? Like Maximo said the other day, what happens?
There is nowhere to go, guys. This is the only place in the world that, you know, we have to defend. We have to defend and protect. This is where the future relies to. Like I always tell people, you know, right now and anywhere in the world, okay, there are people lining up at an American embassy to try to come here, you know, and experience what we have. So we must. It's a must. You know, we have to protect
right.
United States of America.
But what do you say to the leftists, the Democrats, and the defund ICE people and illegal immigrants? What do you say to them?
Well, very simple. Just look at the example that we had in Venezuela. Okay, back in the 70s, okay, when you know after all the wars and all the internal conflicts that Latin America had, you know, with socialists, you know, trying to take over again. We had, for example, we had Colombia with their guerrilla problem. We had Peru with their social, you know, guerrilla problem, Nicaragua and so forth and so on. So Venezuela opened up, you know, we opened up our borders, okay, back then. And we welcome everybody, okay? So during the 70s, you know, Venezuela got fulfilled with all kinds of people from all over the world, okay? But with all these good people, bad people also came into the country, okay? We didn't have filters. We didn't have, you know, we were open borders, just like the left are talking about making America. Okay, so we start
right.
welcoming, you know, terrorists. We start welcoming, you know, scammers. We start welcoming, you know, rapists. Very despicable people.
Then it was easy to divide then, once that happened.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, as a matter of fact, any Venezuelan can tell you that, for example, in Caracas, okay, there is the largest slum, okay, which is called Petare. Okay, Petare is full of all these people that came from all over, you know, Latin America. So from this place, okay, the Petare got to be one of the most violent slums in the Americas. Okay, at one point, okay, and I'm not exaggerating. You can actually research this. At one point, okay, Petare had more death, you know, I mean, dead people by killing, okay, than Iraq and Afghanistan together.
That's crazy. And
yes.
So I had a friend at work from Venezuela, and we were talking a lot about the situation down there. And there was some video circulating around. One was a video of a guy walked into a supermarket that was fully stocked, and it looked really nice, and it was fancy, and it was clean. And the other one was a guy walking down the aisle, and they had like five items in the whole store, and they had like 20 shelves of the same five items, and that's all they had, and like water. Which one is the true depiction?
Both are the truth. I mean, look what we just went through with the pandemic. I don't want to change the subject, but look what we went through. Sometimes I walk into supermarkets and all you have was, you know, five cans or one product and the funny, I mean, I laugh now, but it was traumatic to see that. You know, when I saw that, I was like, wow, man, this is all like Venezuela again, you know?
What was up with the toilet paper shortage? That was weird.
Well, somebody had to use it, so anyway.
You would think, you know, like, you got a family, you got people living in the house, chances are you usually have, like, maybe 10 rolls on a shelf, usually, you know, that's... I always got a bunch.
I don't know what was all that about, but that was impressive, you know. But anyway, what I'm trying to say here, guys, is that we need to police, you know, who comes into the United States of America. We need to police that. Okay, it's imperative. Okay, that we need to police. We need to restrict. You know, I mean, how many people come in here? Okay, and I'm not being racist.
Right.
I'm not being, you know, all I'm telling you is that we need to protect our borders. We need to protect our home. Okay, it's simple as this. If you have a house, you're not going to let anybody just come into your house without knowing who that person is. Okay,
right.
And being in touch with your kids and your family and your belongings, you know. So
that's like having someone walk into your front door and going, okay, that room's mine. Whoever's in there, get your stuff out. I live here now.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, people, you know, it's funny to say this, right? But I have been in El Paso, Texas. Okay.
Yeah.
You find that most of the Hispanic and Mexican Americans and actually, you know, Mexican are actually supporting Trump because all the mess that these people have to live, okay, in the border cities, okay, seeing human trafficking, you know, going rampant, okay. One of the things that for example, we had a couple of Venezuelans, you know, in Florida. We met a couple of Venezuelans in Florida that they got to travel to the Mexican border, right, the southern U.S. border. Okay,
yeah.
And they took refuge in one of the churches over there. Okay, the ladies, she told me that they have to, these guys, okay, her daughters, dress them as boys because they were targeted, okay, by the cartels, by the Mexican drug cartels, to kidnap these little girls, okay, and selling them in the market. Okay, every time this lady talked about this, she was crying. So folks, I mean, this is real. This is happening.
Yeah.
The media is not talking about this.
As a someone from Venezuela with an upcoming election, you're obviously voting for Donald Trump. What would you tell If you had the chance to tell a room full of Biden supporters the deal about anything, what would you tell them?
First thing I tell them all the time, because this is a constant battle I'm having, okay? So, all right, guys, tell me why you're voting for Biden without telling me anything bad about Trump. Go ahead.
Right.
Yeah, that's
it always reverts back to, he's a racist, he's a homophobe, he's a xenophobe.
Exactly. But then I say, you know what, man? In all the years that I've been seeing Donald Trump, and I admire this man, all right? I watch all his shows, you know, every single, I read his books. I mean, this is the type of guy, Mark, that you want to be like, you know?
Yeah.
Therefore, you know, I became an entrepreneur here in the United States of America because, you know, I saw, you know, what he does. But anyway, what I tell people is, okay, do you need somebody that can, that is super nice and talk, you know, proper with words that you don't know, that you don't understand? I mean, are we gonna sit down and eat an arepa, you know, with this man, drink coffee and arepa with this man? Or you need a good administrator, a good leader, an effective leader?
All right.
So come on, guys. The Bible talks about the fruit, you know. Look at the fruit. And we've seen the fruit of this man for the last 3 years. So people, wake up. We have to wake up.
Amen. Wake up and vote for Donald Trump this November. So real fast, I'm gonna play this. I'm gonna play this really awesome song so I can check my switchboard. I think my next guest is there. I want you to stick around and talk with my next guest too, because you guys all have something in common tonight, and that's communism or socialism. So I'm gonna play this song. I'm gonna screen this call. This is Dave Bray, Freedom Ring, Blood of Heroes.
For every soul from every war, across the seas, or on our shore, every fold of our flag, the coffins are laid, the widow's land, every dog.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
All right, folks, we are back. That was Dave Bray, Freedom Rings, Bloody Heroes, out now on Music on a Mission, the Storyteller Edition, www.davebrayusa.com. Go there today and get your copy. You can hear that song every day and hear the story of why it was written and how he came to write that song. It's the Storyteller Edition. New song coming out September 4th. We hope to have it here on our 9/11 special. We're hoping. Dave's our boy. Without further ado, I want to welcome our next guest, Norma Camero Reno. She's got an astonishing story, and she wants to tell you how bad communism is, too. And all the same stuff that you're hearing today, she has heard before, except this time it's in the United States of America, the last beacon of light in this world of freedom. Welcome to the show, Norma. Say hello to Omar.
Hello, good evening. Thank you for having me tonight. Pleasure
yes, ma'am.
To be
thank
here
you.
And talk about my
thank
experience.
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead, man. I think people need to hear these stories so they can understand if they're thinking about voting for Joe Biden, that they might want to change their mind.
I was listening to the previous person that was speaking at your show, and what he's saying is exactly the way I feel. It's the truth. But I'm going to start talking about President Trump. President Trump has known the problem of socialism for a long time. Why do you think that the man decided to come and put America first and try to save this country? It's not because he wanted to be famous. He was already famous. It's not because he wanted to be rich. He is rich. So the man wanted to leave a legacy of freedom, and trying to save this country for what was coming since 60 years ago, which is socialism.
Yep.
We have been on the track for the long time. Yes.
My opinion, when all this really started heading in this direction, was the day after President Kennedy was assassinated. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, but it's been coming for a long time. Russia has always been when the Soviet Union was controlling Cuba. And Cuba was the little island that nobody thought that they could do what they have been doing for the longest time, which is controlling the entire hemisphere. And they have been doing it. And now they are in control, and they have all these countries forming a wall that is against Western civilization, against the United States. And their main goal is the destruction of Western civilization. So last year, in February 2009, the president declared a national emergency. Why did he declare a national emergency? Because there were people coming through the border. We have always had people coming through the border. No. There were socialists, drug cartels, terrorists, human traffickers coming through that border. And I'm telling
90%,
you,
90% of all fentanyl in America comes across the southern border, folks. 90%. Smuggled in by terrorists and criminals and gangbangers and human traffickers.
Absolutely. So I know, I understand, and I know there are good people trying to come to this country for a better life, for their families. I understand that. But most of those people, time when he declared the state of emergency, were the socialists. They were the one that were putting the money, bringing the people, the drug cartel, the terrorists. They all joined forces to come to this country and create chaos, because that's what they have been trying to do with these countries. Now we have the socialists from Cuba, Bolivia, Venezuela, which was destroyed in only 20 years.
I don't know if I don't know if you know a couple of the ladies. I forget which lady it was right now. I think Paloma, down at the border on the Mexican side of in San Diego, and I guess Tijuana's on the other side. And I actually interviewed a gentleman from Peru who was there, who was misled, who was lied to, and brought to the border. And it was pretty compelling to actually speak to somebody and hear him say we were lied to. He said it was on their television to come on down. We're going to get you to the America, you know, free passage. They were advertising it on TV. And the guy said, well, let's go, a better opportunity. And his heart was in the right place. He wanted to come to make his life better. Who wouldn't?
Exactly.
You know, and he was lied to, and he was misread, and he was very upset, and all he wanted to do now was go back home. And I was like, see? And they're messing with him, and they're keeping him there, you know. It was horrifying. Yeah. I got Marianne Mendoza's coming on. She's an angel mom. It's going to be fun Monday. But I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead, man.
But they have been trying to come to this country for the long, or they have been trying to get this country and convert it into socialist country for the longest time, but they didn't have the opportunity. They have Cuba, but that's not much there, you know, and then they have all these small countries with no money, but then Venezuela came, a very rich country, crazy man who wanted to give all that money to destroy the United States. Because that's the main thing that these people, or the only thing these people have in common is the United States, Western civilization. That's all they have in their mind. We have to destroy the United States. We have to get rid of capitalism because capitalism is devil. You know, and they all have that same feeling. But that's how they get to people. That's how people believe in them. And they try to show how good socialism is. And in the past, the Democrats, they never talk about being socialist. They were very quiet about, but they're not anymore.
Now,
they don't care.
Nope.
They don't care. Yeah, we are socialists.
Right out in the open.
Exactly. So now they know they have the power. They know they have the money. And if we don't do what we're supposed to do, which is defend this country, we are going to lose it. And people do not realize that.
Right. They think like, no, man, America's never going down. We're the USA, man. USA. USA. And then in the background, it's crumbling and they don't even see it. Why? Well, you know what's good, though? And I'm glad that professional sports are off the air. Nobody's paying attention. Nobody cares because I believe they were a huge influence in keeping people blind from what was really going on around them. Now they have no choice but to see it because the game's not on. So this might be a blessing in disguise.
So when President Trump decided that he was going to run and for presidency, I said, you know, we really have to support this guy because this is the only hope we have right now. So right now, more than 2016, we have to work harder because right now we are seeing the enemy face to face. And if we're not strong enough, they're going to get it. And you can see it.
Yep, they're not hiding.
The money, they are buying people. They are doing whatever it takes to get rid of the man because the man is uncontrollable. They are not going to be able to control Donald Trump. And Donald Trump is going to do what he's supposed to do to defend this country and make America great again. That's what he has been doing. But people still believe
Amen.
In socialism. And they say, no, socialism is not the same as communism. They are different. Communism is tougher, and it's always created by a revolution. Socialism is softer. The people for the
it's
people.
But Norma, it's different. It's different, though. It's democratic socialism. It's different than regular socialism.
Exactly. That's how they get to you. They get to
you.
They use. Nice words. You know, yeah, we're no. Don't think about socialism as a way of government. No, we are Democrats. Socialism is for the people. the way we're going to distribute the riches of this country,
So what do you say? What do you say to these kids that are walking around wearing Che Guevara shirts?
They have no idea who the man was. They have no idea.
No.
No, they believe that the guy is a hero, and he is one of the worst criminals in history. But people don't know because they just.
And then there's a goofy college kid coming down the hallway with his Che Guevara shirt on, like, hey, look at me, I'm cool, man. I got my Che Guevara. Hang out, man. We're going downtown.
People. They have all these Hollywood people on their social. But they don't.
And you know what? I got to tell you something. I knew the BLM was bogus and Antifa was all bogus when they tore down the Frederick Douglass statue. You know, and the Ulysses S. Grant statue. That's when you know it's not about socialism anymore. I mean, racism anymore. It's more about an ideology and forcing their will on people. Because Frederick Douglass and Ulysses S. Grant did amazing things for the African American people.
Right, right.
That's right. Yeah.
And they played with people, and that's the way they used to brainwash people. You know, in terms of this idea of mine. And
brainwash them so bad that they wear Che Guevara shirts. It's unbelievable.
Right. And then, you do some research, because I come from Venezuela. I have seen socialism face to face. I know how terrible it is, although I have to say that now it's not socialist country anymore. It's a hybrid. It's a group of criminals, socialist criminals, who destroy the country. But anyway, then you do some research for the meaning of the concept of socialism and communism. And sometimes you don't understand what they are trying to say. But at the end of the day, all you need to see is those words, that they are a set of ideas to control the population, to apply to the society. And socialism and communism is the same thing. Even when you talk about Marxism, exactly the same. Fascism. They are all just a set of ideas to control the population, and they are trying to have that here.
And now they're using the exact same tactics as those who toppled Cuba and those who toppled Venezuela, by taking away history, toppling statues, and having civil unrest across the country.
Yes. But listen, people like me that have been studying socialism for a long time, we see it so easily. All you have to do is look for certain words, and they are all there. You know, when they talk about liberal, when they talk about progressive, when they talk about, disarming, we have to disarm the population because our guns are bad, and we have to change the Constitution. There are words that they have, in every other sentence that is so simple.
And of course, the kids today are burning down the cities all think that the Constitution is an old-fashioned scrap paper hanging on a wall in a museum and has no relevance to today, because when they wrote the Second Amendment, they used muskets. We got machine guns now.
I'm sorry, guys.
One of the most incredible constitutions in the world. And those people don't have any idea, do not respect it. The Constitution is so beautiful, the way it was written, what the founding fathers meant to say to the people, to the future. To preserve liberty, because this is the last post of freedom in the world. If we lose it, we have nothing. Nothing.
Hey, Omar, you had something to say quick, and then I'm going to bring in our third guest, Cece. She's got an incredible story. She's out of Cuba. You had something to say, Omar?
Yeah, she was talking about the language, the words they use. You know, words carry power, though. So when they use, words such as defunding, you know, all the racial, you know, things that they've been saying, okay, all the divisionist, you know, words, basically, there is an old meaning that means, you know, divide and conquer. So all they're trying to do is divide us.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. It's pretty crazy. And our next guest, she's joining us. Please stick around and stay on the line. Cece Guzman came out of Cuba a long time ago now and has an incredible story that she wants to tell about her experiences with the early onset of communism and the Castro regime in Cuba. Welcome to the show, Cece.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. Mark.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Say hello to Norma and Omar. Yes, ma'am, loud and clear.
Hi, Norma. Hi, Omar. How are you guys doing tonight?
Hi, fine, thank you.
Wonderful.
So, it's great to have you. Thank you so much for joining the show this evening. Tell people a little bit about your story, and because it goes back all the way to the beginnings of the Castro regime, correct?
Oh, yeah, correct, yeah. I came to this country in September of 1962. I was a little girl, my mom and dad and my younger brother and I. And I remember very clearly hiding in a bathroom in our house in the bathtub because there were planes firing guns above us. And I had no clue what it was, but I later found out that was the Bay of Pigs invasion. And we were hiding out, and right after that, my mother was a very successful businesswoman in Cuba, and she had her own business. Right after that, we started seeing, right after the Bay of Pigs invasion, we started seeing things change very slowly, but very much, okay? I started seeing my parents hoarding food in the house, hiding it all over the place. And family members coming over and, you know, get the kids out, you know, that kind of thing, because they were talking. But I was always very curious kid, so I was always listening to everything. And I remember listening to them, you know, saying how scared they were because what was going on in the country. It was totally, totally changing. And right after the food shortages came, my mother's business was confiscated. My father, the same thing. And my father was in the tobacco industry, which is, you know, very big in Cuba. And so my mother and my father were very much into, you know, the family unit. They wanted my brother and I to have a future, and they realized that we were not going to have a future in Cuba, but because of the things they were seeing. They have these little committees in Cuba. I don't know if you all are familiar with it. They're called the G2s, which are like they're really like snitches who work for the government and report everything that they see. So you had to be really careful what you did, who you talked to, who you saw, because you were being reported. So my mother and father decided that we were, you know, that we're going to come to this country. My aunt was already here. She was a nurse at Mount Sinai Hospital in Miami Beach. And I had another aunt in New Jersey and her family, and they were already here. But my aunt in Miami was the one who sponsored us. Back then, there was no welfare. There was no food stamps. There was nothing like that. No
right.
medical
right.
insurance, nothing. So you had to have a sponsor. And they gave us things like when we first got here, I remember my aunt took us to a place that was like a government place, but I thought it was like an embassy or something. And we left with papers, and literally we were accepted and granted political asylum. That was
amen.
Just the beginning. Yes, amen to that. You got it. Because my mom, you know, she told me something, you know, to this day I remember. She used to tell me, the reason I had to leave Cuba was not only because of communism, but I knew you and your brother, and you were either going to be in prison or dead. So I figured, you know, I better get you out of here. So because I've always been very outspoken, even as a child, and, you know, got in trouble for asking too many questions. and I still do.
Right.
But that was just the beginning. Yeah. That was just the beginning. What ensued after that was, you know, starting over when you had everything in a country that, like Venezuela, well, actually Venezuela had even more because they had oil. But, you know, Cuba was considered the Las Vegas of the Caribbean. So we had, you know, everything. We had, just like the U.S. had. And so it was like we were living in a capitalistic society. Yes, there was a dictator, but he was not Castro, you know, totally different. So my mother was definitely on the Batista side, and my father was a Castrista. So then I would hear till the ends of the night them fighting all the time because of this. And then so eventually, like I said, we came to this country, and it was very hard for us. My brother was even younger than me because, first of all, I didn't speak English. You know, I spoke Spanish. And so I was very much, I went to school. I was bullied. I was ridiculed because I didn't dress like everybody else. So it was a very traumatic experience for me and my brother. And eventually, thank God, my mother, you know, being, she was always a very smart and businesswoman. So within 2 years of living here, my mom already had a business. Okay. And she, in 2 or 3 weeks after we were here, they both had jobs. So we didn't take anything from the government. We got here legally in a plane before he closed the country, okay, before there was a complete lockdown. You can't leave and nobody can come in. So we made it. It was September 5th. And then after the October missile crisis in 62, they shut down Cuba. So we barely made it out of the country. Then the whole family, we started sponsoring other members of the family, and eventually all our family is either here today or all over the country, okay? So, hallelujah indeed. So, I mean, if it wasn't for that decision, I would probably not be here, you know, anymore, because I just know that. And my point, what I want to really say today to everyone who's listening is this election is not about, you know, do I like my candidate? You know, is he cool? Is he smart? Is it whatever? Okay. This election is about choosing freedom as we know it or choosing socialism, which eventually is communism. That's how they start. They sell you socialism so they can introduce communism little by little. Okay. So my point is, whether you like Trump or not, whether you think he's crass or whatever, you know, the guy has no filter. I agree. But this is not about personalities. Yes. This is not about personalities. This is not about parties. This is about our future as a free country or a future as a socialist communist republic. And I want to get that point across to everybody who thinks I'm not going to vote because why? What's the difference? You know, I don't like Trump because of what he says. It's not about liking Trump. It's about you and your family living the future. Do you want to live in the America that we know, the United States that we know, or do you want to live in a totalitarian regime where you can't even think? Okay? So that's it.
It's incredible. And so... If you were going to die, I asked a question, I think, to all of my guests this evening. If you were going to say, if you were in a room full of Biden supporters and you had the one chance to change their mind and to change their vote, what would you say?
What would I say? My God, I can't even stand the sound of him. So,
being in a room full of Biden supporters would be horrible.
Yeah, oh boy. I would like to say, if you guys like your cell phones, going whenever you want, you know, and doing whatever you like and shopping, whatever you do, you can just say goodbye to that if Biden wins, okay? And a vote for Biden is a vote for evil. A vote for Biden is a vote for abortion. A vote for Biden is a vote for socialism. It's a vote for China. It's a vote for Russia. It's not a vote for the United States of America, whether I'm egged or thrown stones at.
It's pretty insane. Oh. And the language and the speeches that we're hearing from these leftists now are eerily familiar to folks who've lived through these regimes in the past. And I'm sure it must be shocking to hear some of the things that Joe Biden is saying to
Absolutely.
Someone who's escaped communism.
Absolutely. And not only that, the family that we left behind that came later on, they went through the worst. We didn't go through hardly anything, but it was pretty bad when we were there. So, and right now the situation in Cuba and Venezuela is deplorable. It's horrible. There's no words to describe it, okay? Because there is nothing. There's no hope. There's nothing to live for, okay? And yet somehow these people are making it. It's incredible.
It's kind of shocking that any American would want to even say, like, I'm a socialist, and then step on an American flag and burn it.
Mark, I think they're being brainwashed in school, okay, to think that socialism is good. And in my experience, my son went to Florida International University there in Miami, and I raised him as a believer, as a Christian, and I, a Christ follower, and he saw my mother and father, how they were, he knew. He went to the university, and in 2 years, he was a completely different child. They poisoned his mind unbelievably. He was going to vote for Bernie Sanders in 2016, and I said, hold on, wait a minute, sit down, we're going to talk, okay? So I gave him, I said, you're going to vote for Bernie Sanders after what you know me and your father and my mother and your grandparents went through? Are you kidding me? So I gave him a complete rundown about Bernie Sanders and what he represented. And yes, he didn't vote for Trump because he doesn't like Trump, like a lot of people don't like Trump. But at least he didn't vote for Hillary, you know, so I considered it a plus, you know. I think that is also the reason why these young kids are so predisposed to liking socialism, because they're being brainwashed in schools and universities that it's okay. They don't. My son doesn't even know some of the history that I was taught in school, and he has no clue.
Right.
You know, so they like cover things up that should be exposed, and they expose things that aren't true. So,
right.
You know,
teaching outright lies in the universities. It's crazy.
Yes.
You got people like, you know, what the heck's his name from the Weather Underground. He's up in Chicago teaching. I forget his name right now. You know, he was blowing up stuff in the 70s, and now he's teaching the kids in the university in Chicago somewhere.
Yeah, well, that doesn't surprise me. Chicago is like... Yeah. It's like a mini socialist republic in itself.
Yeah, crazy over there. Well, folks, if someone wanted to help the cause to fight socialism, Norma, what would you say?
What I would say is look at Latin America. You have an example to see what socialism can do to people, to a country, to destroy.
Yes.
And if you don't realize that we're gonna have those people here, and what they do is try to get some representation, a candidate that they can control. You see that with Hugo Chavez, with Maduro, with Evo Morales in Bolivia, with all these people in these socialist countries, they are being controlled, and they have Joe Biden here. And that guy is not—he's not going to be the president. He's just going to be a figure, and somebody else is going to be in power in this country. And if they don't realize that, is it they want to? Because the examples are out there. All they have to do is a little bit of research, and they will realize what's going on
this
country. Yeah.
The gentleman's name I was referring to, up in Chicago, thanks to my friend there in the live feed, Bill Ayers.
Ah, yeah.
Weather Underground.
Weather Underground, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Blowing stuff up. Omar, what would you tell America today if they wanted to help the cause of fighting socialism? What would you say to them?
Well, every madness, you know, has a method, all right. And I would point out to the simple examples that we're seeing until now, okay, the how they've been trying to manipulate, you know, our liberties, okay, how they've been trying to close our churches, you know, how they've been able to close our schools, how they've been able to change our laws, our constitution,
really?
how they've been trying to defund the police, how they've been able to manipulate our financial system and our economics, okay? And then I would tell them, how would you do to prevent all that? You know, I have become an expert asking questions. So what I tell them is, listen, if there is anything that you don't agree with in your community, dude, get involved. Go to your local commissioner's meeting. Listen to all the ordinances. Listen to all the bills that they're trying to pass, you know, locally. And if you don't agree with something, then get in touch with your governor. Get in touch with your district representative. You know, we have to be savvy in terms of our local communities' policies and politics and you know how they handle all that, because you know, I mean, the president is one thing, the vice president is something else. But then, if we have a conservative governor, right? But if we have a bunch of, you know, liberal judges, then there's not much we can do about it, you know.
Right. You know, I want to thank all of you so much for coming on the show tonight. It's really important, your message of freedom and the dangers of a Biden presidency and the dangers of socialism and communism. It's really important to keep spreading this message that a vote for Biden is a vote for the end of America as we
That's
know
right.
it today. As people
That's
like
right.
AOC and Buttigieg will be taking positions of power within our government. And that is scary. To even think that Buttigieg would be the gun czar and that AOC would be overseeing the new Green Deal. Unbelievably scary.
Trump 2020.
All right, I got 90 seconds of the live feed. I got to wrap it up here, folks. I thank you so much for coming on. I got Marianne Mendoza. Mendoza coming on the show. She was exiled from the RNC last night. And she's going to be on Monday on a special episode, 9 p.m. Eastern time. We're going to run out of time here, so I want to wrap it up. I thank you guys so much for coming on the show. This is the Star Spangled Banner by Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com. Stick around. Here in the
Trump 2020.
Good night.
Good night.
Trump 2020.
Trump 2020. Trump 2020. Trump 2020. Or else.
God bless America.
Yes, God bless the USA.
Yeah.
Ross Sangabana, head on over to www.davebrayusa.com and get you a copy today. Music on a Mission Storyteller Edition. Tune in this Monday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Marianne Mendoza exiled from the RNC last night because she retweeted something that was connected to somebody who is an anti-Semite, and now all of a sudden she's an anti-Semite bigot, racist, and that's why she follows Trump and all this stuff. They're trashing her in the media, and they're trying to destroy her good name, and all she did was lose her son to an illegal alien criminal with multiple deportations who murdered her son. And she's just speaking out, and this is what's happening. So join us Monday, 9 p.m.
Yeah, it's over.
Special episode.
Okay, let me get out of there.
Thank you so much. Is that you, Stacey? Thank you so much for coming on the show. Wait to wrap, and I'll talk to you soon. Good night. God bless America.